Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Bank of India conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. We have with us Shri A.K. Das, MD and CEO, Shri P.R. Rajagopal, Executive Director, Shri Swaroop Dasgupta, Executive Director, Shri M. Karthikeyan, Executive Director, Srimati Monika Kalia, Executive Director, and other top management team from Bank of India. I now hand over the conference to Shri A.K. Das, MD and CEO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining this conference. On my personal behalf, also on behalf of the Bank of India, extend a warm welcome to you for today's interactive session and share with you the financial results of the bank for the Q1 of FY 2022-23. Before the global economy could recover from the pandemic fully, a higher than expected inflation, especially in the US and major European economies, is triggering a tightening of global financial conditions. Inflation at current levels represents risks for current and future macroeconomic stability, and to bring it back to targeted levels, central banks of major advanced economies are withdrawing monetary support and raising policy rates. The Indian economy has shown resilience, drawing strength from its macroeconomic fundamentals. The Reserve Bank of India has projected that the economy will grow at 7.2% in the financial year 22-23. The central bank has increased its inflation forecast to 6.7% for the current fiscal year, and to contain it, it has been taking a host of initiatives. With the central bank gradually withdrawing its accommodative stance, the surplus liquidity in the system has come down in the banking system. The banking system registered credit growth of 3.28% YTD, and credit growth is likely to continue as the year progresses. Resource mobilization drive could thus come to the fore. Against this backdrop, bank's performance has been reflective of the strategies adopted in quality asset creation and effective liability management. The YOY credit growth of the bank till June 2022 has been 15.2% as against YOY deposit growth of 2.78%, conforming to our continued reorientation of the balance sheet. RAM advances increased by 15.74% year-on-year, and CASA ratio was at 44.7% of total deposits as against 43.22% in June 2021. Increased focus on managing asset quality brought down the GNPA ratio from 9.98% in March 2022 to 9.3% in June 2022. Net NPA ratio also improved to 2.21% from 2.34% in March 2022. As regards operating efficiency and profit numbers, I wish to share that the bank's net interest income has improved by 29.51% over corresponding quarter of previous year. NIM global improved from 2.16% in June 21 to 2.55% in June 22. There has been a decline in operating profit on YOY basis due to predominantly decrease in non-interest income, mainly on account of lower income from treasury operations. Net profit stood at rupees 561 crore for the quarter under review. With a view to improve customer experience and enhance ease of banking, several new tech initiatives are being taken. Next month, digital savings bank account and online loan products are scheduled to be launched. Bank is also launching two digital banking units in two major cities of the country. We will continue to focus on credit growth with greater emphasis on RAM. In the current year, advances is projected to grow by 10 to 12%. With RAM growth expected to be higher, supported by tech enablers, corporate book will also continue to be in focus for onboarding new corporate clients. I once again thank you for your valued presence and for your continued support. I believe the presentation has been shared with all concerned. With that, the floor is now open for discussion and question answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Each participant will be allowed to ask three questions. If they have more questions, they are requested to join the queue again. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The first question is from the line of Suraj Das from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi sir. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. First question is on the sir, yield side. So if I see your yield on advances, that has decreased QOQ by around 20 basis points, whereas your yield on fund has increased on a QOQ basis. So just wanted to know your view here. I mean, what is the outlook on your going ahead? And also, I mean, since yield on fund has increased vis-a-vis declining yield on advances, so what about the yield on interest spend? Yeah, that is my question.
Can you please repeat your question? There are two, three questions clubbed together. Can you please repeat them again, Suraj?
Yes, sir. Sir, if I see your yield on advances, that has decreased around 20 point QOQ, whereas your yield on has increased. So just wanted to know your view here.
Yield on advances has come down by 20%, whereas yield on funds have gone up. It is only marginally gone up, Suraj. It has not gone up on a sequential basis. If you see, you have the slide with you, slide 21. On sequential basis, the marginal growth is marginal. It is not very, very significant growth in your yield on funds, and actually is reflected by the rate structure in the markets naturally. So you look at the sequential growth. On a year-on basis, you will certainly find a very drastic growth over there, but it is not so on a sequential basis.
6 basis points.
Okay. And sir, I mean, what would be your EBLR, MCLR, loan mix? I mean, what would be, how much percent of the loan book would be EBLR?
As of date, around 53% is in my MCLR and remaining 47% is around in EBLR. Okay. And that continues to be so since we are actually having a lot of emphasis on RAM growth as such. So naturally this proportion may grow, though not substantially. It's a proportional change in proportion will happen, but necessarily there will be a more proportion of EBLR coming. And we also see increase in the rate size, and it will be profitable for the bank to have more EBLR in the portfolio than MCLR.
Right. And the entire rate hike has been passed to the EBLR customers, or how it is?
Yes. Except in some of the sub portfolios. For example, in retail you have portfolio of home loan, which is very sticky portfolio across the industry. So there some concession has to be necessarily given to keep pace with the market competition. There are cases where we have given concession to even though we did not really pass on the increase in the EBLR.
Okay, understood. The second question on the treasury side, you have given a total number of treasury gains on treasury.
Mr. Das, interrupt you, sir. The audio is breaking from your line. Please check.
Yeah.
Is it clear now?
Ajesh.
Yes.
The audio is breaking.
No.
He is Das.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So, sir, the second question is on treasury side. So you have given a total number of, you know, treasury gain plus MTM loss. So if you can just bifurcate, how much would be the MTM loss in that 148 crore?
Yes, Sushil.
Sir, the total loss on account of MTM is 248 crores, and we had made some 100 crores by way of sale of security. So the net amount is reflected in that slide 19 as 148 crores.
Okay, understood. And sir, you have given the total restructured book breakup and all that thing. So I just wanted to know how much of the total restructured book would be out of moratorium on the COVID restructuring part. How much slippage has been there from book this quarter?
Your question is not very clear. Your audio was not clear, Suraj. If you can repeat that question again, it will be great.
I was asking about restructured book. So you have given COVID 1.0 and 2.0 restructured book of 2,400 crore and around 8,000 crore. Wanted to know, sir, how much of the book has been out of moratorium so far and resumed billing? And what is the slippages that you have witnessed from this book in this quarter?
The total, as you said rightly, 10,407 crores is the total exposure in RFCR as one and two. Initially, the retail segment slippages were on the order of 34% during December 21. It has now come down to 13% during this quarter. There is a good improvement in the operational, collection efficiency. The pain or the slight cause of worry is in the MSME segment, where you can see nearly 1,159 in RFCRS 1 and 2,941 crores in RFCRS 2. Is it causing a, where the slippages are in the order of about 22%. For that purpose, we have constituted teams in various zonal offices to ensure that the RFCRS 2 and 1 collection efficiency in MSME picks up. Retail, of course, we do not have any issues, and then corporate and agri normal restructuring also, the recoveries have been good.
Okay, understood. And just to reconfirm, sir, when you 22% in the MSME book slippage, so that is on the total MSME restructured books, that is 1,159 plus 2,941. So on this, 22% slippages was there, right?
Yes, there also, if you see, agriculture, retail, there isn't much pain. There also, it is on account of corporate, which has in SMA 2, which was 233 in March 22, has gone up to 790. An increase of 557 crores is on account of, again, road assets and as well as manufacturing. It's contributing in total of about 8 to 10 accounts only, corporate book. That's how it has increased. But we are hopeful that in the due course of the market picks up, the recoveries in those accounts also will come up.
Okay, understood, sir. And last question from my side, and this one would be, you have given your SMA 1 and 2 on the rupees 5 crore. However, you used to give also on the, you know, the all-inclusive SMA 1 and 2 number as well. So if you can disclose that number or give you, what would be the ballpark number for the all-inclusive SMA 1 and 2?
27 July ka position.
15,000 was last March 22 position of 1 and 2. In all SMA 1 and 2 combined, which has now gone down to 12,763. I'll give you the numbers in email.
Thank you, sir. If I have followed up, I'll come back.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and 1. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 at this time. The next question is from the line of Bhavik Shah from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, we have seen quite healthy growth this quarter. Most of it was from international book. Can you elaborate which segments, what is the nature of loan that we have grown in international segment?
Yes. The total growth during this quarter is 13,000 in rupee terms, 13,500 crores. And in terms of percentage, it's 21%. Out of that, the breakup is trade finance is 8,150 crores. And the oil companies that little dispensation through the RBI, it is 1,400 crores. Term loan is 800 crores. And there is a increasing exchange fluctuation roughly over 3,000 crores.
Oh, okay. Understood, sir. And sir, what would be your outlook on growth, margins, and asset quality?
In terms of asset quality, we have set a target of 2,500 crores reduction every quarter, of which 1,700 crores will come from upgradation and cash recoveries, and the rest will be through the various OTS programs which is lined up. That's how, and we are sure, and out of the this year we think about 3,000 crores will come through resolutions of NCLT. That's what our guidance is.
Growth and margins?
Growth.
Our growth guidance, advances growth guidance will be in the range of 10 to 12% for the full year. So far up to June, we had a YTD growth of about 5%. But that is solely or mostly on the back of good RAM growth. Corporate is yet to pick up. We believe that from this quarter onwards, there could be some movement in the corporate book. So keeping that in mind, we believe we could end up with 10 to 12% growth for the entire year. And regarding margin, our global NIM has been 2.55, while domestic NIM has been 2.88. So we have a guidance there. Because of a lot of repricing happening in both sides, it will be good if we can maintain that 2.90 domestically. And we expect our global NIM to improve from 2.55 to 2.75. That's the guidance.
Okay, understood, sir. So a couple of more questions, sir. One, sir, what would be your LCR ratio as on quarter end? And second, sir, if you could give the breakup of your slippages, would be great. And so what is the corporate domestic yield going in the market? Like, I just wanted to understand the pricing competition.
Fisibuli, one first question was regarding LCR, right?
Yes, sir.
180 continues to be at the 180. So it hovers at around 180.
Okay.
And
what was your second question?
So breakup of fresh slippages.
Yeah. First slippages total is 2,833 for this quarter. Major comes from a very high value retail asset. That is one major component there, and other things is the road assets and manufacturing assets totaling to about 850 crores. The rest of the assets are falling in agri, MSME and retail. We will get you the percentages.
I will get you the percentage now only. Out of 2,833, corporate is about 17%, retail is 13%, agri 26%, MSME 32%. Plus overseas, it's about 12%, including, you know, valuation and other things, exchange and other fluctuations. So that is the broad breakup.
Understood. And sir, amongst the retail, agri, MSME, what would be from the restructured book?
At 14% in retail, the retail is 361, agriculture is 734, MSME is 908, corporate others is 492,
In the restructured firm.
He is within restructured, he is asking.
In the restructured, one second. Within the restructured 5 crores and above, I have agri at 147, retail 20 crores, MSME 511 crores, corporate 790 crores. Total 1468 above 5 crores. SMA 1 and 2 put together.
Sir, any lumpy corporate account slip from restructured book?
Any?
Lumpy account from
restructured book. Yeah, that I told you, no? That some road sector advances are there, which is
there,
which is about 359 crores.
Okay. And the last question, sir, how is the pricing competition in the domestic corporate market on yields, and what would be the yields currently?
6.7, that's what my general manager of the large corporate says. 6.7
okay.
Is
yeah. Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashok Ajmera from Ajcon Global. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir and madam.
Good evening.
Sir, there is of course a pressure on the operating profit, which has come down by almost 280 crores. So I can understand it that because of the treasury, pressure on the treasury. I will come back on the specific question, but my first is, I just want to know that, we have been discussing for last 2-3 quarters, last quarter also we discussed about strengthening the digital footprint and digital space. So where have we reached on the digital platform end-to-end, how much work is left, and what kind of budgeting we have for this digitalization in the bank, sir?
Yeah, if you see, I have given in these slides, page 35, these slides 35 onwards, all the slides and initiatives are there. In that, you know, what has happened is when we discussed it last time, it was still in the RFP stage, design stage. Now all design stage is over and the rollout has started happening. We have already rolled out on 3 products, which is in the COT, which will be, which will go live in a matter of days. A savings product, one MSME's issue product, and then agri gold loan product. So this will go live, and then once that go live, another month down the line, we are planning around 60-70 products in digital that will go live. We are actually putting in all policies in place by that time, and then we'll roll out everything. That's what the plan is. And as far as the budget that we are talking about, last time I shared with you, Ajmera Saab, that in our utility platform, what we call e-platform, the budget is around 360 crores plus, and we have our own data lake and then super app that we are coming out. That together constitutes around 600 crores. Total budget is around 1000 crores to put it precisely, the entire digital initiatives.
Thank you, sir.
So the timeline that we are talking about is 23 September max.
So, yes, sir. Point well taken, sir. Yeah, of course, you have given elaborate information, but I just wanted that what actually has already been implemented. So, yes, point
is, 3 products and another 40 products will get implemented in a month.
Sure, sir, because we want to see Bank of India to be fully on the digital map, as other banks are also running very fast on that front. Sir, coming on the credit growth, I mean, if you see the domestic growth is very sluggish. It is around 1.83% in this quarter, April-June. And when we are talking about 10 to 12% growth, do you mean to say that in the remaining 3 quarters, we will have about 10% of the domestic credit growth, or it includes even the global credit growth where you are increasing your footprint, it seems, in the global market? I don't know, I mean, how much margin or NIMs we are having on that. But on the domestic front, can we say that in the remaining 3 quarters, the domestic credit growth can be around 10% or so?
Yeah, I will answer your question. First, on the overseas books, I think the NIM is about 0.98%. That is as against domestic NIM of about 2.88%.
Sir, and about the domestic credit growth, sir?
Yeah, Ashok ji.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yeah. So,
the domestic credit growth, sir.
Can I start?
Yes, sir.
we have seen this industry for ages, and we all are aware of the pains and pangs in the first quarters. Q1 is supposed to be a very lean quarter and all, so that way Q1 probably will not be a barometer of the entire financial year. But still then, in the domestic arena, we have done a growth of about 9% year-on-year and a 5% growth vis-a-vis industry banking system 3.28% growth. And it has been predominantly, in the domestic part, predominantly it has been triggered by good growth in retail, 22%, including 15% growth in home loans, agri 16%, and MSME at about 8%. Now, there is every reason to believe that at some point of time, going by the indications as of now, the corporate loan book will start picking up. We did a very modest level of sanctions, predominantly on the demand front only, the lack of demand. We did about 7,000 to 8,000 crore of sanction in the first quarter. But as we speak, we got about another 12,000 crore of loan proposals in process now. So these are mainly for metals, chemicals, bit of pharma also is there, and some amount of infra loans. So based on our experience so far, and 9% YOY and 5% YTD growth is not all that bad. I think it should give us reason to believe that minimum 10 to 12% growth should be possible.
I'm not putting any comment on that. I just wanted to understand what is the management views for going forward. When we talk about this credit growth, you have the NBFC exposure of about 8.93%, 35,825 crore, other than HFCs. Going forward, what is your plan to increase our credit numbers through the NBFC for onward lending and also for co-lending, so that we reach to the last mile?
Co-lending, we have got already 2 to 3 partnerships where we are just about off the block. And direct NBFC exposure, we have got clear-cut mandate because we have almost hit the ceiling. So on a very, very selective and good, very good rated accounts only, we will examine. Pool buyout, we are open. I think recently we have done 2 to 3 pool buyout transactions, of which about 200 odd crore have been disbursed. So this is the position.
There is one data point, some information, note number 11, sir. We have made the provision of, currently the provision holding is 179.37 crores, out of the provision of 675 crore, out of this in this quarter it is 179 crore in the 15 borrowers account. What is the total outstanding on those accounts, 15 borrowers account, note number 11, under RBI circular of 7 June 2019?
Yeah, yeah. See, we are having about 16 accounts totally, where in some of the accounts, once it crosses 180 days, we have to make 20% provisioning, and when it crosses 365 days, we have to make 35% provisioning.
Outstanding.
So the total provision comes to 675 crores.
Hey, he wants outstanding in all 15.
The outstanding is 3,431.
Yes.
3,431.
Plus, that's
all. Sir, this one very old note is coming with a disputed amount with another PSU bank, and 50% provision of 144 crore has been made. What is this? Is it going to resolve or this dispute is going to continue for a longer period of time with this kind of provisioning?
Karvi Road, Pune, Karvi Road.
That is with regard to one of our Pune zone matter, where already under the liquidation, whatsoever amount the bank has to recover, that has come through the liquidation process. Okay. And thereafter, the CBA case also has come to a conclusion. The dispute with the other bank is continuing before the competent authority, that is the settlement dispute committee before the DFS. And one hearing was conducted, and we are trying to resolve the matter through the DFS mode.
Okay. Yeah. Sir, my last question is on the treasury, on the entire treasury operations now. We have made a treasury operation, if you see the segment-wise, 974 crore, the profit income is there. But at the same time, there is a loss on the sale of the investment and also the valuation. So going forward now, how do we see the treasury performing, and how much cushion do we have if we go for another, say, 35 basis point or 50 basis point hike by the RBI? how far we are insulated and how much are we insulated?
Sir, as regards your first question, going forward, how the portfolio is going to behave. So we believe that the worst is over as far as mark-to-market positions are concerned. 10-year has hit 760 and currently trading at 720. Internally, we feel that 760, 770 should be the maximum we should see on the 10-year yield. So MTM losses, we don't see much of an upside from these levels. In fact, our calculations were based on a 10-year yield of 745. Now, we will have to wait and see in September how it behaves. RBI increase, yes, RBI increase is expected. Again, the market news is that 35 to 50 basis point hike can be there. But if you look into the way the markets have behaved, even before the RBI has started implementing these increases, the markets have run far ahead of the regulator. So, even if there is going to be an increase, we don't see much of a hike as far as treasury yields are concerned. And we are looking at a terminal repo rate of around 6%. It can be 10-15 basis points up or down. So essentially, whichever way you look at it, we feel that 770-775 should cap. So that way the worst is over. That's what our internal assessment is. But market always humbles you and market always surprises you. That is the caveat I have to say.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. My last question in this round is on the slippage. Sir, our slippage is increased in this quarter to 2,465 crore as against 1,502 crore in the last quarter. Percentage-wise also 0.69%. Going forward for the whole year, what is our slippage target, sir? And because it is our cost of cost is also has gone up, actually, cost to income. So overall recovery and the slippages, because we have even return of account also, we have written off 2,340 crore versus 313 crore in last quarter. So overall, where do we stand on the recovery front and how much slippages we can expect for the entire year?
Sir, if you see the slippage ratio, last quarter it was 1.07, we have brought it down to year on year 1.07, we have brought it down to 0.69. Going forward, 20% reduction in slippages is the guidance number one. Number two, in terms of recovery, as I already told you, and our MDNC was also informed earlier, every quarter we are projecting a recovery reduction of 2,500 crores, of which 1,700 crores will be cash recovery plus upgradation, and remaining will be coming from return of recovery, potential return of accounts as well. So, slippages, last year if you could see the entire year baseline projection was 9,000 crores. We had come to a level of 8,851 crores. This year we are sure that we will not be able to cross, we should not cross 8,000. That's our guidance. Slippages.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. In this round, if I get the chance, I'll come back again. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayank Sethi, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, my question is, Bank of India has a long history. Structurally, how Bank of India is different from other PSU banks, and based on the unique strengths that the bank has, which areas the bank can grow and gain a leadership position compared to other PSU banks?
It's a very short question but requires a long answer. See, there is not much to choose from when you assess the structural comparisons. And we are working in a multiple hierarchical structure, and Bank of India, just which is going to complete 116 years, has got several firsts to its credit, and in digital space also, otherwise also, in overseas presence. And it has got a lot of, you know, capacity built into it. Now, last 2 years, there were certain issues that affected not only Bank of India, but all of us. One lag that probably was there for little longer time was the digital footprint. I think our ED, Mr. Rajagopal, he has very explicitly explained that how we are going to go ahead on that digital frontier. I think by September, we will see first signs of those digital footprints. And in the next 1 year, I think we will be comparable to the best. So this is the basic premise on which we have structured our corporate objective for the current year, that is reshaping the future.
So another thing I would like to add to what our MD CEO has said, Mr. Sethi, is the unique areas where bank has had strength was basically in the trade finance and in supply chain finance and working capital, and as well as in the bank used to be the leadership position in exports, especially for diamond and other jewelers. We used to continue to receive awards from the export organizations. We used to be one of the best banks in terms of funding to exporters. And the last of the things is that, you know, we used to be leaders in terms of actually, you know, funding the capital market intermediaries. So these areas have actually been taken over by private banks. Most of our customers have actually gone to private banks because of the huge technology changes, tectonic shift that has happened in these areas. So what we have done in the last 1.5 years, 2 years is we have actually brought those technology interventions that are required to actually regain uniqueness of this bank in these areas. And another 1.5 years down the line, we'll actually be able to get a leadership position back in these areas, and we'll be competing with best of the banks in these areas as either to be where, say, 10-15 years back. So this is what this one is. There was this could not happen in the last decade for a very simple reason, because it required huge investments in technology, which we could not do. Now, structurally, we have actually made that shift in terms of technological intervention in all these unique expertise that the bank has. So naturally, we'll grow in these areas going forward.
One area is financial.
This is very helpful, sir. Sir, yeah. My second question is...
Our ED, Mr. Karthikeyan, wants to add.
One point is this. Our bank is also strong and leader in terms of financial inclusion, where 3.28 crore accounts have been there, and 2.71 crore accounts are every active position, and the balance outstanding in these accounts are amounting to 11,074 crores. The average balance in these accounts are amounting to 4,000 crores. In all the government sponsored schemes, we are excelling, and we have been awarded also for good performance in these segments.
Again, very helpful, sir. Sir, my second question is, for many PSU banks, their subsidiaries have gone quite big. For example, for SBI Life Insurance, cards business. For us also, we have some subsidiaries. Over the long term, do you see the potential of any of our subsidiaries that can grow very big, and maybe we can list them in the stock exchanges?
See, what we, even though we have not really, it is too early to say that, you know, we can list and grow. But one thing that, you know, strategy is out in the plane so far as the subsidiaries are concerned. There are very good subsidiaries where, like, typically we have our own finance subsidiary, which is SBCA Finance, which is doing reasonably well with an AUM of around 2,000 crores plus. And we have another insurance subsidiary which is also doing reasonably well with an embedded valuations of around 25,000 crores plus. And then we have our merchant subsidiary, which gets us good leeway in terms of the subsidiary services that we can provide to the financial intermediation that is also there. And we are also actually, you know, trying to augment these subsidiaries in a very, very robust manner. Another thing is that our AMC has also started doing well. We are also building up necessary infrastructure within the AMC so that we can actually scale it up in a very robust manner. So these are the areas, maybe another 3 years down the line, we may be listing this. Most probably, most of these, this one start with, we may actually have a partner in the AMC to this one, because we are already today 100% holding in AMC as of now. So we may have a partner going forward. This is our plan.
Okay. I understand, sir. Sir, my next question is...
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Sethi. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions? The next question is from the line of Sushil Choksi from Indus Equity Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, good evening. Congratulations on a stable result despite non-interest income being down dramatically year on year on quarter on quarter. Sir, you highlighted that you are making a huge digital spend for inroads into various type of businesses. Can you quantify the budget and elaborate a bit on the products?
Yeah, see, I would request you to kindly go through the slides which have been put out, slide 35 onwards in the presentation, Sushil Saab. Our Choksi Saab, Dusra Amara, we have a five-year plan of almost 5,000 crores plus budget for the entire tech initiative that we have taken. It is a huge budget we have taken. Already around 1,800 crores plus is already approved and purchase orders have been given in this most of the initiatives. The first initiative that we have actually rolled out, and it is actually rolled out to a great extent, is the utilities lending automation systems and lead management systems. The rollout has happened, and then the full rollout will happen over a period of say 1 or 2 months down the line. So mostly the foundation day will be formally introducing the products to the customers. That's what our plan is. And insofar as the other thing that great initiative that we have taken is we are putting in place an universal app, which is basically an engagement layer API publication that ICICI has done or Axis has done. We are also coming out with that. The rollout time is 18 months. Purchase order has been already given. So you can calculate from August now, 18 months down the line, it will be up and running fully for us, where the same capability that you are seeing in ICICI, Axis and the HDFC, same capability will be available with the bank. That is the second one. Third, we have actually taken a data lake initiative where we can offer intelligent personalized offers to the customers. See, what we are talking today is we are talking in terms of hyper-personalization. At the individual level, we can actually try to make a product, customized product and offer. So that rollout will happen over a period of, the RFP is already done. Technical evaluation will happen in another 10-15 days. But most probably will be given by end of September. And once purchase order is given, then the rollout time is again 18 months to 24 months for data lake. And it will be rolled out on a very, typically on a staggered manner, such that we derive benefits out of it on a staggered manner over a period of time. It is not that 24 months nothing will be done, and only after 24 months rollout will happen. Rollout will happen in a very staggered manner. There will be a lot of intervention that will happen at a data lake level. That's what we are planning. Apart from that, there will be a lot of utilities in terms of our processes and other aspects that will come into play in terms of our collections, in terms of our recovery, in terms of the scorecards for credit underwriting, and even third-party product sales, all those digital initiatives are also being undertaken very, very effectively. We'll have a completely different mobile experience. You will have a completely different internet banking experience in terms of customer engagement is concerned. So even with the existing mobile, we are growing at 40%. And there will be completely, phenomenal growth that will happen in our mobile banking once we come out with a very, improved product over there. And that is also slated to come in another 2 months to 6 months down the line.
Do I assume that the pure consolidation with Bank of India started from 2015 June, May-June of 2022 June of 7 years is virtually getting over and we will be on an accelerated mode where
Yes, precisely. You can assume like that.
Okay, can you indicate what would be a CD ratio over a period of next 12 to 24 months?
CD ratio, see, today we have an ideal CD ratio of 74%. We would actually go to 80% levels of the HDFC bank level unless we have a very robust fund management system in place. You require a lot of liquidity management system in place, and you need expertise also to have that kind of CD ratios. So that will take some time. But till such time, I would actually stick to that 74-75% CD ratio for some time till the resources and skills build up within the bank in terms of funds management that the other banks have.
Okay, so second question is hearing MD on the media as well as on the concall initial speech. Is it that the pool buyouts which you have initiated are yielding better results than in terms of earning compared to our retail loans?
We would not say that. See, basically what is, you know, ultimately net basis, the service charges and the interest rate share that the NBFC takes is much more. So naturally, it boils down to the average yield basis, whether it is a pool buyout or a direct customer acquisition basis, it is more. Only difference is the customer acquisition cost that we have in terms of retail push, that is lowered in a pool buyout. So, but over a period of time, it's
differentiated. Sir, I get your point, but is it that you are yielding it approximately 1 year MCLR plus? That's what I'm asking. That's all.
Yeah, that is true. That is that. MCLR plus continues to be at 1 year MCLR, continues to be at 7.5. We need more yield there. And most of the pool buyout loans are not in MCLR. Most of them are in RBLR. Because they are all either retail or MSME loans.
No.
Where I cannot offer an MCLR linked loan.
You had a great rich heritage in terms of connectivity with business community in western parts of India, whether traders, small manufacturers, small businesses are concerned, seeing last 40-50 years. Do we say that after digitization, most of the customers which are poached by private banks in last 3-4 years makes a good comeback to Bank of India?
Yeah, that's what my interaction with all our old customers feel. They only say the day you digitize and give us the same facilities that the other bank gives, so we'll come back. That's what everybody says.
Any guidance or any outlook on your investment book based on today's yield, not on the quarter end?
Today's yield.
See,
as
I explained earlier, the MTM loss currently stands at 250 crores. The upside we are not expecting much because the yields are going to taper off. If at all there is going to be an increase, it's going to be a short-lived one. The other side is our CD ratios have improved. To that extent, the available corpus for us to make investments is also there because there is a flow from the investment book to the advances book. So we should not see much of an MTM
as far as
development is concerned, I mean, I think slightly higher.
So I'm looking at the other way around, that if the globe is in recession, India generally does well. So do we get some right back in the quarters to come back?
Definitely. See, this we expect that the interest rate level should peak by Q4 of FY23. And after that, there could be a stage where the Reserve Bank can go for a pause or even start reducing the interest rates. But that is when the capital gains will start flowing into the investment.
Thank you and all the best to the entire team and management of Bank of India.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akash Jain from Ajcon Global. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suraj Das from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, just wanted to get your view on the BB and below rated books. Given the slide number 15, percent of, you know, domestic advances of 7.5 crore is below rated. If you can quantify what would be the number in absolute terms, what is your view here in terms of, you know, what would be the largest ticket size here and how you are looking at this book?
Actually, I couldn't hear it also.
That will be below book. That is there in that slide 15. This is any accounting. What is the absolute number in terms of 4%?
7,355. 7,355 crores, Suraj.
Okay. And sir, what is your view here? I mean, what would be the, you know, largest ticket size here in book, and how you are looking at this book in terms of, you know, slippages and NPAs and all?
Largest size in terms of account level, no, ticket size in the account. ज्यादा नहीं है यार, 25 करोड़ के नीचे वाला बुक है ये. सॉरी सॉरी सॉरी, 100 करोड़ के नीचे वाला बुक है. ओल्ड अकाउंट्स है, ओल्ड अकाउंट्स है, 100 करोड़ नीचे वाला बुक है पूरा. 25 करोड़ तक तो ये रेटिंग नहीं है, 25 करोड़ के ऊपर, 100 करोड़ के नीचे.
ओके ओके, अंडरस्टूड सर. एंड सर, वन लास्ट क्वेश्चन अगेन कनेक्टेड टू द रीस्ट्रक्चर्ड बुक. सो इफ आई सी द कोविड रीस्ट्रक्चर्ड बुक, something around 11,000 crore last quarter, that has come down to 10,000 crore. So wanted to know how much of that book is already out of moratorium, let's say as of March end. It was out of moratorium. I mean, moratorium means there is no, you know, interest moratorium or something like that. What do we propose?
I'll tell you, the total book was around 1 lakh crores, so pura restructured book mein, COVID mein tha. Sorry. We have COVID book mein around 30% is out of moratorium. 70% of the book continues to be in moratorium. 30% of the book is out of moratorium. In terms of numbers, I'm just calculating in my mind and giving you that number. 30% of the book is out of moratorium.
Okay? Okay. Okay, understood. I have a question.
Yeah? Yeah?
I'm asking if you can give the breakup of segment-wise GNPA.
What NPA?
Segment-wise NPA, breakup.
Sir.
ठीक है, वो दे देंगे बाद. Okay. We'll give you that.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sohail from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to understand two things. One is basically in terms of a credit to deposit ratio, which has inched up to around 73%. So what is your outlook in terms of cost of deposits, saving deposits, and correspondingly the pricing power in the system? If you could just give your qualitative comments on these three parts.
Cost of deposits, if you go see the trend, there is definitely in many banks, including our bank, there is a drive for resource mobilization, because as liquidity has dried up and as the demand picks up, naturally there will be a scramble for higher resources. So cost of deposits could see some, you know, uptick. But the same, like we have done in our bank's case, so we have decided to go at least 10% growth in CASA. We are at, 44.70% of CASA percentage. So that will probably compensate, at least partially, any kind of repricing that is happening in the liability space. And in the asset side, of course, the repricing is relatively real-timed, especially in the EBLR segment. So that will also help us, you know, safeguard our margins. Apart from this, Monica ma'am, would like to add anything on that?
No, I think sir has covered it appropriately. The cost of deposit is almost, around the lowest in the industry so far. So we had been able to manage our cost of deposit in a very efficient manner. So in line with that, we have a great focus on our CASA growth this year, and we have introduced various schemes, even the salary plus schemes for garnering more salary accounts. And the term deposit, which is, trade-off between the CD ratio and all, that we will keep on monitoring very closely, and as and when required, we will, complement our rates accordingly.
Sure. In this, I also actually wanted to ask, right now what is happening is basically the differential between saving deposit rate and the term deposit rates are basically very low or has narrowed down over the period of time. Now, when the term deposit rates start rising, at what point of time do you think that we as well as the system would actually have to look at the saving deposit rate again?
term deposit is again, you know, started going up. So it's not in a, you know, whether we increase it or not, it's the savers to decide. You know, if they don't want to keep it in CASA, of course they are free to, you know, switch over to the term deposit. So already in the system, we are, you know, our SB is around 2.75, the term deposit 1 year is around 550 or so, which is for the retail deposit. So already the gap has started increasing.
Thank you. Mr. Swin, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, it looks like the CET1 number has been changed. Is it due to the...
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Mundra. The audio is very low from your side. Please use the handset mode.
Yeah, hi, sir. I was saying, sir, the CET number for March, it looks like it has been restated. Is it because of the dividend thing that was changed, or there was something else?
No, it's partly because of dividend and partly some additional disclosure we have made recently. So because
on
of that...
recap bonds, right?
Yeah. Yes. Partly recap bond and partly dividend.
Sure. Secondly, sir, on yields, so if I see your last 12 months, you have not changed too much of your MCLR, and you know, you would have, you MD sir also commented that you started to pass on the rate hike on EBLR basis. So what explains the drop in the loan yield by around 20 basis points?
It's because of our high growth in our international book, where actually yields are lower. And recently we have hiked our MCLR, going to hike our MCLR by 10 basis points. And international also, we are very choosy about the asset, but the majority of assets are in short term in nature. They're balancing our books and other ratio by international book.
Okay. And sir, when you, there was an increase in the overseas deposit also, right, this quarter. Is that, I mean, that is deposit only, right? It is not borrowing or et cetera. It is a local deposit in overseas branches.
It's a mixture of local deposit as well as borrowing also, sir. Majority is bulk deposit we have supplement our asset growth
here. Okay. And did I hear it correct that 70% of the book, of the restructured book, has already come out of moratorium and rest 70% could still be in moratorium?
Other way around.
Sorry, so 70% has already come out of moratorium.
30% has come out of moratorium, 70 continues to be in moratorium.
Right. Okay. So does that mean, sir, I mean, this quarter we had some 1400 crore something slippages from restructured book, right? And if I see 15,000 crore restructured, only 30% has started billing. So let's say 4,500. Out of that, some 1400 crore has slipped. So on, at least on, while in absolute number, 1400 is manageable, but in terms of percentage, that shows a very bleak picture that out of 4,500 crores, 1,400 crore has...
Jay, that is because you know very well there was an OTR of big accounts which has to be classified as NPA because of the litigation.
Okay.
So if you remove that,
sir, if, let's say remove the corporate account, only let's say retail...
If you remove the corporate account, almost 500 crores goes out of it.
Okay.
And also, the stress is slightly being expressed, but there is a total mechanisms built in now across geographies. We have put in place persons to more closely monitor this RFCRS 1 and 2. So there is going to be a granular level follow-up in all terms, both personally as well as technologically. So we don't foresee any risk on that.
Right. And sir, on your ECLGS, you have given the the disbursement number of somewhere around 8,200 crores. What is the outstanding and how much is the gross NPA there?
There, it is around 2.8% of the book, COVID book. The ECLS book is NPA. That is around 217 crores of book plus. Okay, not much is NPA there.
Right.
Outstanding, outstanding actually, I don't have the figure exactly now. I can give you a little later if you want.
Sure, sir. And last question, sir, is what would be your credit cost and ROA guidance we used to give? I think last year we did, more or less to the guidance. But what would be your credit cost and ROA guidance for full year 23?
Credit cost, we will continue to, you know, like it was about 1%, that will be the benchmark. This time it was a little more on account of slippages. So 1% will be ideally our credit cost. ROA, we would like to see it at least 0.75% by the end of the financial year.
Right. So even 1% credit cost is would be like some 4,000, 5,000 crore number, which would mean that, you know, last year we also did around similar number. So, I don't know.
This is not a static number, Jay. This will keep on getting revisited from time to time. As on that, this is the presumption. We will try to revisit it as and when we progress.
Most of the public sector banks, Jay, what happens is in the first quarter, you will see credit cards going up.
Right.
Okay. And again, it tapers in the next three quarters. There's always the trend. If you see last 5 years, if you take the balance sheet and see of all public sector, it will be like that. Except that no twin balance sheet problem period.
Right, right. Understood, sir. Yeah. Thanks a lot, sir, for asking, for answering the questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Sujay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashok Ajmera from Ajcon Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity again. I have my some observation or some answers to be sought on the taxation front. I mean, we have opted for the old rate of taxation so far. So out of this tax liability of like provision of 300 crore which we have made, can we get the numbers of the total losses, carry forward losses available, the DTA, MAT credit? How this 300 crore has been arrived at, and secondly, is it how much is actually as a tax is required to be paid in cash?
Yeah, DTA is around 8,700 crore is the DTA, and we have a couple of foreign tax credit also. So, being the foreign tax credit is there, so that's the reason we continue to be in the old regime, and over and above, there is a MAT credit. Allowability to nationalize banks that are also pending. Once the decision will come, then we'll take an appropriate decision in shifting to the new regime in time. As such, there is no threshold limit that within that time limit we have to shift the new regime. That's the reason we are just waiting and watch on the appropriate decision of the High Court to come on this particular aspect. Then only we will take a suitable decision.
All right. Now, taking the point from the deposit, you know, earlier we were discussing, our domestic deposit has come down in this quarter by almost about 1%, you know, like from 5,50,000 crore to 5,45,000 crore, 46,000 crore. So going forward, as we were talking and madam was giving some rationale also, are we going to be tightening as far as the interest rate is concerned and keeping the deposit low, or we plan to grow the domestic deposit also equally? As the global deposit, international deposit is also growing up. So what are your views on that? I mean, are we going to keep it stick down?
No, Ashok, it's like this. I have explained earlier also that, you know, we would like to grow somewhere around 10% in our CASA so that our, roughly CASA ratio of 46% can be achieved by the year end. And the term deposit will of course be complementing the needs of the business. So whenever there is a need for the business advances growth, we will be complementing the term deposit number according to the market scenario. As already has been talked about my treasury people, and you would have seen that, you know, what the market has expected, that is already cooling down because we are not seeing that harsh reaction from Reserve Bank of India. So maybe going forward in next 2 quarters, we may see some respite. So it would be idle time to hold on till I really need it for my business growth and then take a call accordingly. Okay?
Yeah, hello, point well taken, ma'am. On this non-SLR book, we have HTM 29,886, that's okay. On AFS book 11,204, what is the nature of this investment? Non-SLR, it's all AA, AAA, what kind of investment is it? 11,204 crores. AFS books?
The AFS book 11,204, we have about 10% is in AAA. That's what I can immediately tell you. I can, the other information I can give you offline, please.
That's okay, sir. No issues. Sir, on the rating side, you know, the external rating, I saw a note down that above 7.5 crore rated accounts, corporate rated accounts. So this 7.5 crore is a threshold limit by RBI, or we have put up the, as a bank, we have put up the limit of 7.5 crore. Below that, the people do not require the external rating. I'm not actually basically aware of it.
Basically, it is a regulatory retail and corporate threshold that RBI has put up. But insofar as the bank is concerned, the threshold is 25 crores and below, no rating required, external rating required. 24 crores and above, rating is required. External rating. Yes.
Only above 25 crore external rating required, according to you.
Yes. Not according to me, according to the policy of the bank.
Yeah. Of course, we consider you only as a policymaker of the bank when you talk as a banker. Sir, there is a small... question. Actually, there is a RBI levied again this quarter penalty of 70 lakh rupees onto the bank. Is it a regular feature with this thing, or any specific incident has taken place when the penalty of 70 lakhs has been put up by RBI?
Penalty is regular feature, I think, doomsday. So, penalties are for occasional breaches, aberrations. So, that we are seeing not only in the case of our bank, but yes, there were one or two instances where certain unauthorized debits were made and certain breaches or violation of KYC were not there. The big bank, big numbers are there. We are still in a data cleaning mode. So, this is the RBI supervisory team's observation when they check, take the data dump and check it. And we are in the correction mode now. By and large, we have corrected the data, but having said that, we also need to ensure that in future, such breaches don't occur. So this was a kind of a one-off penal action.
And added to that, it is basically pertains to a legacy observation in the RAR reports of the RBI. So that things are not there in 2020-21. So most of them are corrected now.
All right, sir. Point well taken. No, my last question in this round also is on our ARC. There was some, I think, ARC sale of 102 crore provision has been reversed. The I think entire account were must have been written off. That is why the total proceed has come as a reversal of the provision. Going forward, you have also stated that NARCL identified 6 accounts will face. I mean, with the gross outstanding of 2,437 crore. Is it going to be materialized in this current quarter? And if, even if we assume about 20% or 18%, so it becomes about 480 crore, 15% of that, about 70-75 crore rupees cash, are we, can we expect in this quarter to come in from NARCL?
See, NARCL has started functioning fully now. I don't think that in this quarter it will happen. Probably it will happen only in Q3 because... they have appointed some of the agencies for conducting the due diligence in many of the big accounts. You know, they have to do the legal scrutiny and the other verification of property, which is going on. So going forward, it will, may happen only in Q3, not in Q2.
All right, sir. Okay. All right. If you permit the moderator, one just last question. On the family pension, we have amortized still about 459 crore carried forward. Do you have any plan to take it little forward than that 4-5 years time which has been given by the RBI?
In fact, we have simultaneously our regular AS 15 provision. So as of now, we will be doing, we will be taking advantage of timeline given by RBI, looking at the requirement from our regular AS 15 provisions. If going forward things improve, maybe we can think of taking it forward.
All right, sir. Thank you very much and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as a last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Sri A.K. Das for closing comments.
Thank you very much, all investors and analysts, for taking active part in this interactive session. And we hope we have explained the questions to your satisfaction. In case there are any further requirement, any further data, kindly get in touch with our finance department. I'm sure they will provide you all required data. Thanks once again for attending this conference. Good day.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Bank of India, I announce that this conference concludes. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.